Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
I'm just going to ask God to speak through me. I did not have time to prepare what I was going to say, but I'm just going to qualify. I'm just going to tell my story. One of the coolest things about this meeting is that there are so many people that I don't know, which is awesome. I know so many people in program in LA. That was where I got my start in recovery and where I really grew up. It's really where I learned how to become an adult, was in these rooms. But to qualify, I have been in program for 10 and a half years now, which is crazy and like such a miracle. And I have been abstinent for about 8 of those years. And I will tell you the whole story. Anyone who knows my story, it's just my story. And anyone who doesn't, this is me. So I came into program 10 years ago. I was just always obsessed with food my whole life. And my weight, I started to gain weight when I was about 6 years old, and just gained and gained and gained and gained. And when I was 13, I decided, I had this best friend that had like the perfect body, and the boy that I loved was in love with her. So I was like, that's it. I'm going on a diet and I'm going to lose all this weight. And I did. And by accident, by something, I was sexually molested basically right after that happened. And it was my very first time ever like looking good or feeling comfortable about myself. So, and I didn't tell anybody because I was ashamed, and I also felt like it was all my fault. And so like I didn't leave when I should have left, or I didn't do something I should have done, or, you know. And so like my little 13-year-old brain was like, if I didn't look this way, then that wouldn't have happened. So I put all of the weight back on and then some, until I was 16 years old, and then got invited with all the popular girls to go on spring break. So I was like, well, I have to get skinny for this. So I lost all the weight again. And then once I hit 18, I was like, well, I have to figure, I started dating the captain of the football team. I was the captain of the cheerleading squad. And so it was just like all of the dreams were coming true because I was skinny. So I needed to figure out how I was going to stay skinny, because I just like, I couldn't just continue to like not eat and go to the gym constantly. So I picked up some recreational drugs that helped me really not eat very much. And that was a very short-lived experience, because that's not sustainable. And it was a very expensive habit. And I was 18 years old, and I was like a waitress. How was I going to sustain this? So when I went to college, I put on not only the freshman 15, like the freshman like 35. And started to date this, you know, guy who was really heavy into like smoking pot. And so that really helped, like, had me put on weight too. And through a series of like those events, I got into some trouble and was just like, and I was just so angry at myself, and I banished myself to the gym. That was always kind of like my punishment. I always used exercise as a punishment. It's like, you're going to go to the gym and you're going to pay for your wrongs. You're going to pay for what you did, and you're going to show them. And so I fell in love with this other guy, the best friend of this guy who I was dating, who was really a crush of mine since I was like 9 years old. I knew him from my childhood, and we ended up going to college together. And he went away for a semester. I lost all the weight, and he came back, and we ended up together. And I thought that that was it. Like, I had arrived. I was, again, like dating the popular guy. I was the popular girl, and I was like, this is it. And then we moved out to LA after college, and my disease really, really, really kicked up in terms of controlling, manipulating, wanting things my way all the time, wanting what I wanted, when I wanted, sometime between now and right now. Thank you. I hear that five. And, you know, like, you have to do what I want you to do. And, he didn't really like that too much. He didn't take too well to that. So he broke up with me, and I was so blindsided by it, and I did not see it coming. And I thought that this was who I was going to marry. Like, this was my life. He was my life. Like, my world revolved around him. Like, when he wasn't around, I didn't breathe the same, which is another, you know, part of my disease. And so when we broke up, I just spiraled. And I did everything that I could to try and get him back. All of, like, the nice things and all the really, really evil, not nice things. And I just put on so much weight in the interim. And it just got to such a deep, dark place. And I had put on so much weight that I woke up one day and I was like, I'm going to go to the commercial diet program and I'm going to lose the weight. And I stepped on the scale and the number was higher than it had ever been before. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Just my world was so dark. And I just didn't want to live anymore. So I went home and I tried to commit suicide, and it wasn't the first time, but it was, definitely going to be the last. And by the grace of God, my roommate came home early that day from work and found me and took me to the hospital. And when I woke up in the hospital, I was so angry. I was just so, so angry. I was just like, this is not what I wanted. I wanted to go. I can't do this anymore. And then my second thought was, they're going to put me on a 151. They're going to send me to psych and they're going to control my food. So this is my chance. Now I'm going to get skinny. And that's how crazy my mind got. That's the depths. Like, that was my bottom. That's how crazy this disease had made me. But that is not what happened. I did not lose weight in psych. I gained even more weight. After that was when I ended up going to my first OA meeting, because I just said to my mom, I was just like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, why don't you just try to go to OA? You literally have nothing left to lose. So I was like, okay, sure. Like, I'll try. I didn't know what to expect. I was just like, okay, I'll try. So my very first meeting I walked into on a Tuesday night, it was a women's meeting at Mount Olive. And I'm just like expecting to walk into a room of like a lot of overweight people like me, like very depressed, very just like down and out. And everyone was like hugging each other and they were happy and they were just full of light and life. And they were so friendly to me, and I'm the newcomer. So everyone came over, hey, what's your name? Welcome, welcome. And I'm like, this is great. I love these girls. This is awesome. And the leader was sharing some of the most vulnerable things that I had ever heard anyone say about food and body and their thoughts and, you know, their behaviors, just sharing about their behaviors. And I'm just like, and people are nodding their heads, and I'm just looking around the room like, oh my God, are we actually like saying this stuff out loud? Like, I do this, but like, you're not supposed to talk about it. Like, this is insane. And it was just so freeing. And I just knew that I was home. Like, the speaker was talking about how she would rustle the garbage to like hide the remnants of her binge, how she would like go fast food hopping and go and dispose the remnants like in a dumpster somewhere nearby. And I was like, oh my God, like, I do this stuff. Like, I can't believe other people do this stuff. And the way that she would talk to herself in her mind. And that was how I spoke to myself all the time. Like, you're disgusting. You're a monster. No one will ever love you. Like, you're gross. Like, God, everyone hates you. Like, this angry voice. And I just thought that that was how people talk to themselves. And Thank you. I hear that, Tan. And so I just dived right in and I took all of the literature home. And the very next day I like established my abstinence and I got a sponsor and I started working the steps. And my very first abstinence was, no binging, no seconds, no fast food and no self-harming. Cause I was a very big self-harmer at the time. And, I was just struck abstinent at the time and I kind of ended up swinging the other way and I started going to the gym all the time and I wasn't binging at all. I was actually restricting and I didn't really know what that looked like because, Like, and so through that beginning piece of my recovery, I had lost about 75 pounds in 4 months, which is very fast. And so I kind of swung to the other side and developed anorexia and an exercise addiction. And I didn't really realize that it was happening until I started to like faint at every gym in Southern California that I went to. And ended up getting some outside help for that just to give me a little bit more of like the facts. I needed to kind of go back to basics and like learn a little bit more about nutrition and like not to eliminate certain food groups that I needed to survive and things like that. And then once I did that, I got a new sponsor and my sponsor was like, let's redo the steps. Let's start all over again. Retake step three. And that's what I did. And so my new abstinence, which my abstinence has been now for 8 years, is 3 meals a day with 2 optional snacks and life in between. And that's what I do. And I don't, I still don't go back for seconds. All like my meals fit on one plate. It can be as big or small as I want it to be, but it has to be, you know, a loving portion size. And so that's what I've done all through up until today. And, you know, recovery has not been a straight line. It is definitely a path that winds and changes. And the biggest, and my body has changed so much throughout the course of my recovery as well. You know, when I came in, I was severely overweight. And then I was never really underweight for my body type. I was underweight. But once I kind of started to work with a little bit of outside help, I was weight restored pretty quickly. I've gotten married in this program. I have a baby now. And so pregnancy definitely changes somebody's body. I still have some of my baby weight on me, which is quite humbling, but the recovery of that whole journey and like where I am today is the fact that I still get to be happy regardless of what my body looks like. And that's the biggest thing that I've taken away from this program besides finding a relationship with my higher power. Of course, that's kind of first and foremost because when I first came into program, I didn't believe in God at all. I was kind of like, where was God when this bad thing happened? God did this to me. God made me fat. You know, it was kind of like just a blame game on God all the time. And it was this kind of like a punishing God. But the relationship that I got to establish with my higher power in program was that I got to make this God of my understanding. It didn't have to be a God of your understanding or a God that I grew up with. I got to like go to the God buffet and like choose all of these characteristics and qualities of my higher power that I wanted. A God that was completely all loving, that was all forgiving, that was all knowing, that was all nurturing, that, you know, my higher power is somebody that loves me so much he can't take his eyes off of me. To me, it's a him. It just is. But it's kind of like this awesome big brother or this awesome like teacher who kind of like has the whole lesson plan just planned out for me and just kind of like gives me little bits and pieces of it in his time when it's supposed to happen for me. And in my journey in this program, I spent a lot of time you know, dating the wrong people and just wondering, you know, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Thank you. And as I have gotten married in this program and I look back on all of that time and I just, you know, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. And our experience one day can benefit others. It was just, you know, everything that I went through and every wrong relationship and every wrong turn was just meant to be. And I'm so grateful that it happened because it taught me, that was the thing that I learned, was that there are no accidents. There are no mistakes. There are only lessons to be learned. And that was always what I got to take away from an instance. Whenever something didn't go my way or something like went differently than I expected it, the question was always, okay, well, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to learn from this? And that I don't have to get down and out about it. It's just like, okay, acceptance. Acceptance is the answer to all of my prayers today. And to live by the spiritual principles of this program. And that was a huge part of my journey of becoming okay with myself and really falling in love with myself, because I hated myself when I came into this program. I was a monster. And the fact that today I can like look in the mirror and look at my imperfect body and just look at myself as a human being and even look at my like adult parents today just as human being, it's just like we're all just people, you know? And the fact that for me, like, I didn't have to be a people pleaser anymore. It was just a matter of, if I am in congruence with my higher power's will for me, if I am practicing the principles of this program in all my affairs, if I am practicing willingness, brotherly love, perseverance, hope, faith, you know, spiritual awareness, if I'm honesty, integrity, if I am practicing all of those principles, I'm good. Like, I'm okay. And I don't need you to tell me that I'm okay. It's between me and my higher power. And that's such a gift today to be able to breathe into that. And sometimes it comes up, you know, like at in motherhood and, you know, starting all over in new places and you go to, there's always this like twinge of like, oh, I just want you to like me. Oh, I just, am I okay? And it's like, I'm always okay. And I also learned because of my higher power, I'm always okay. And I also just learned that like, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, whether it's dating or whether it's in friendships, and like, that's okay. Sometimes people want to go to a rom-com and like, or they want to go to like a horror movie. And if I'm a rom-com, we're just not going to get along, and that's okay. You know, like if I'm a strawberry and someone I'm dating is looking for an orange, then like, we're just not a match, and that's okay. And so it's this whole like acceptance. Is that my time? And it was just this whole acceptance process of like, this relationship with my higher power that like, I'm okay. As long as I have this relationship with him, it's all good. So a little all over the place. I'm sorry. But thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. Lindsay, thank you for asking me to lead. I'm so grateful for this family and this community. You guys are always here to catch me when I fall, if I ever fall. So thanks so much for letting me share.